beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Now other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying to them, "He who has ears, let him hear. He has ears, let him hear this." Well, the scripture says when he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, "To you it has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside, they get everything in parables. So while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. The sower sows the word." It's a very powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. What I want to talk to you about today is how the sower sows the word, and what the word does, and what the word accomplishes. I'm not sure that we'll get through the whole parable today. I think we'll probably take a couple of weeks. But the point is that the sower sows the word. The Bible says that the crowds have been pressing in to Jesus. He gets on a boat, actually, and puts out a little bit, and he shares to the crowd in this right on the Sea of Galilee this parable. Some commentaries say that they believe that perhaps there was an actual sower sowing seed in the distance, so that he might point to this guy sowing out of his bag of seed into the ground. What's interesting to me is that this parable is definitely about Jesus the sower sowing into the hearts of people the word of God. But it moves from that text, or it moves from that context, to the context of everyone in this place who claimed the name of Jesus, who have called upon his name, have received him into his life, received the sower into his life, who then becomes a sower himself, a sower herself. Jesus the sower, who sowed the word of God into your life when you were lost, when you were lonely, when you were far away from God. The sower Jesus sowed that word into your life, and you received it because somehow in that moment that heart was fertile ground. It wasn't hard, it wasn't thorny, it wasn't rocky. And God planted that seed in your life, this word, and you received Christ into your life, and you began a journey toward him, a journey toward Christ-likeness, so that you one day might truly be reflecting the sower. Because you become the sower. The church becomes the sower. And let me just say this. We are a people that sow the word of God. We are the people that sow the word of God. This past week was a wonderful week in San Francisco. I don't know if every one of you know this, but Johnny and I went to perform a ceremony for a young woman that lived in our home for 9 months. Back in 2006, several of our families received Chinese students into their home, foreign exchange students, to live with us. And for 9 months, we had these teenagers, these students in our homes and in our church. And we received a young woman named Jessica. That's her English name, and had a wonderful experience with her. And a few months ago, she called and said, "Would I do this ceremony? Would I do their wedding?" And of course, I said yes. One of the things about our student is that she never came to Christ. Some of the students came to Christ, some didn't. And we said yes, and we flew in and got there and got to the venue. And I said to them, "How would you want me to do this ceremony? How would you want me to do this?" And she said, "We want you to do it just like you always do it." And I said, "Okay, I'll do that." And so as the procession came and as her dad and her and she were at that front, I began to share the gospel of Christ to about 100 people. I want to venture to say that most had never heard of the gospel of Jesus. And 120 people. And I began to share the gospel. I began to share who God is and who Christ is and how Christ was the bridegroom and how the church was his bride. And Jesus loved so much that he laid down his life for the church, for his people, and how his people respond to him as the bride would respond to the bridegroom. And just shared that wonderful picture of what marriage is to look like. And as he gave her away, and as they came forward to begin to talk to Ben about this role of a husband and what that meant to lay down his life for his bride and what that meant to live with her in an understanding way and to honor her. And it was just an amazing moment. And then to speak to her about a wife who submits to that love, a wife that sees to it that she respects, a husband that cherishes and nourishes his wife. We finished it, and we were having pictures. About a 27-year-old Chinese man came up to me and said, "I have never, ever heard anything like that. I have never heard anything, and it touched me. It touched me. It touched my heart." And then, same thing. From photographers to wedding planners to others who came, we had never, ever heard anything like this. It was the most meaningful thing I have ever heard in my life. Got home on Tuesday. I got home Monday, and on Tuesday, actually, it was a whole week of just sharing faith. It was just a whole week. I got on a plane with a guy from New Orleans, and I'm from New Orleans, if you're new to us. And I don't know what it is, but it's just when a New Orleans guy says he's from New Orleans and you meet, it's like you've known each other all your life. And we talked all the way into the plane, sat down on the front row, talked, got up at the end, we're talked the whole time, talking while we got our bags, talked all the way out the ramp or whatever you call that. Got to share life. I got home Tuesday morning. I opened the Bible to this passage of Scripture where it says, "The sower sows the word." I want to ask the question, because you go to work, you go into the world, you go to places where there are people who are lost, who are dying, who are desperate for the word of the gospel. But I want to say this, the sower sows the word, and everybody needs a word. Amen? Everybody needs a word. You've come today needing a word. You may be saved, you may be sanctified, you may be growing, but every one of us, we wake up almost every day, "God, I need a word from you. I need a word for my circumstances. I need a word for this situation. I need a word for this relationship. I need a word for this financial thing. I need this word for something that's so uncertain. I need a word for this person, my friend, my son, my daughter. They need a word." The sower sows the word because everyone needs a word. Everyone. When you look at the passage of Scripture, when you look at the literal word in this passage, the word is the Greek word logos. And it just means this. It means something said or something spoken. It's something that begins in your mind as a thought which makes its way out of the mouth. And not all logos is good logos. Amen? Not everything that comes out of our mouths, that came into our ears and into our minds, is a good word. But when you see the sower sowing God's word, sowing the word, the word God says is what it is. He sows what God says. He sows the word. And it's a word to live on. It's a word to live by. It's a word that brings us from where we are to where we need to be. And I want to tell you, everyone in this place, everyone listening to this message by tape or by radio or by live streams, we need to hear a word. Psalm 28:1 says, "To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, do not be deaf to me. For if you are silent to me, if you don't speak to me, if you don't speak this word, if you don't give me this word, I become like those who go down to the pit." I want to ask the question because I really relate to this word here. I really, really do relate to it. God, if I don't hear from you today, if I don't hear from you, if I'm not hearing from you, I'm like one who is dead. I'm like one who is empty. I am like one who has no purpose. I am like one who has no influence. If I don't hear from you, I'm like those who go down to the pit. So God, I want to hear you. I want to hear what your word says. I want to walk it out. I want to live what you have to say. But not only do I want to live it, I want to say it. I want to say the word. I want to speak to the word. I want to share the word. I want to give the word of God away. And I don't know about you, but if I don't hear from God, if I go through a day and I don't feel like I've heard from God, it drives me to places I don't like to be. I want to hear from God. Do you want to hear from God? Do you want to hear from God? Because he is a God who speaks. He is a God who wants to hear, wants you to hear him, wants you to share, wants you to bless. When I was on the plane with this guy from New Orleans, and just had a great visit with him, but he was in the middle of a decision, and just was having a hard time making the decision. And I said, "Have you ever asked God what you should do?" "No, I have never asked God what I should do." Do you think this would be a good one to ask God to do? Would you think this would be a good decision to ask God, what should I do? Because I want to tell you, Charlie, he wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you every day about your relationship with your fiance, about your relationship with your four sons, about the pain in the past, about losing your whole, everything that you had at Katrina. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak the word of God. He wants you to live by that word. And it's a wonderful thing, is it not, to hear God and to walk that out? Is that not a wonderful thing? But how many times do we see it as something as not normal, an anomaly? It happened when I was 10, or it happened when I was 15. No, God wants to speak to you every day. He wants to speak to you every day. He wants to speak his word into you because his word is absolute, total life. And you know, we live in a society that everybody wants to be heard, right? That's why social media is so popular. That's why Instagram, Facebook is so popular, because we want to be heard. We want to speak. Right? I mean, I just got this urge to speak. Well, the question is, are you speaking the word? Are you sowing the word? Are you sowing the principles of the word? Because when Jesus sows the word, it's because every one of us needs a word. And you know, the words that sometimes we hear, they're not of God. We don't need to hear another word from man. We don't need to hear another word from Hollywood. We don't need to hear another word from the right or the left, a Democrat or a Republican. We don't need another political word. We don't need to hear from this culture. We don't need to hear from the reprobate, the lost, that athlete over there or that celebrity. We don't need to hear from Facebook, Instagram, social media. We need to hear from God. Need to hear from God. And are you hearing from God? Because I don't know about you, I can get on Facebook and go crazy. Have you ever done that? Go crazy? Well, turn it off. There's nothing you want to walk crazy about. The way we might respond emotionally, or the way we might respond verbally, or the way we might respond to the post. Then all of a sudden you gotta take it off because you're getting slammed for it. You know, I think about this because and this is not in your notes. This is something that John Ann showed me yesterday. I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 1, if you would. Psalm chapter 1. This word. Well, you know what I think about sowing the word is that you're opening up to the Word of God. Amen. Is that what you're doing right now?
That's right.
You're opening up to the Word of God. It's God's Word. Cover to cover. Even my maps are holy. Did you get it? The maps? They're not, but I'm just trying to see if you're listening. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? This Word is God's Word. And it gives you everything you need to live. It shows you what to do. It shows you how to think. It shows you how to love. It shows you how to live. It shows you how to walk with your spouse. It shows you how to walk with people. It shows you what to do with your money. It shows what you do to do with your finances. It shows you what your purpose is. It shows you how to live, how to respond. It just does. It's just all over it. You know, I was thinking about that great passage of Scripture when all of Judah was standing before God and there was a horde of people coming. And they stood up and they said, "Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." That's a great, great passage, isn't it? But let me just say this. Most of us in here, we know what to do. We already know what to do. And we know what to do if we don't know what to do. We put our eyes on Him. And we wait for the Word. But every one of us in this place ought to know what we ought to do. We already know what to do. Unless you're just biblically illiterate. Unless you don't know your Bible. And that's why we say, read your Bible. You want to know how to be a great husband? Google it. How to be a good husband, biblically, from the Bible. And I want to tell you, Google will give you some scripture. That's the good thing about, one of the good things about Google. Or go to your Bible app. How do I become a great husband? How do I be a great dad? How do I be a great mom, a great wife? I mean, what do I do with my money? My money's a mess. My finances are a mess. What do I do about career? What do I do about relationships? What do I do about this bitterness in my heart, this lust in my mind? Folks, it's there. It's there. The thing is that the Bible says, listen, you come to the Word for it. You come to the Word for it. Look what he says in chapter 1, Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. I hate to pick on social media because I look at it every day, okay, I promise. But sometimes I can sit with the scoffer. Is that right? You sit with the scoffer. You can stand in the way of the sinner. You can get ungodly counsel from the wicked and stand right there. The Bible says, listen, blessed is the man who does not do this, who does not walk, who does not move in the suggestion of the wicked, the ungodly. He says his delight is in the Word. It's in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates on it day and night. You say, that's got to be an impossibility. How can I do that? Well, I want to tell you, there's a lot of us in here who meditate on a lot of things day and night. And you don't have a problem meditating on those things day and night. Come with me. Am I with you? But when it comes to the Word, what happens? Is it that boring to you? Do you not come to it with this conviction that it's life, that it's greater life than the things that you have been meditating on, the things that you have been going over in your mind over and over and over and over again? No, he says, listen, we don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We don't honor those who live a life that's not of God. What we do is we meditate on his Word. And then we're like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. It yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf doesn't wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. He prospers. Why? Because he's meditating on the Word. And I don't know about you, but as a man thinketh, so is he. Isn't that a scripture somewhere in Proverbs? Absolutely. And you know, the thought is that what am I putting in my mind? And I have the opportunity to put the Word in my mind. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have more than one of these in your house? Raise your hand. You got more than one of these in your house. Oh, right, high. Do it high, high. Look at that. How many of you got more than two? Look at that. How many more got three? Wow, four. Man, four Bibles. You can put your hand down. Is that Bible red? Not the color red. R-E-A-D. Red. Is it red? Is it embraced? Is it, do I think on it? And because what happens is when you think on it, you'll trust it. You'll trust it. Go to Jeremiah 17. This is the verse that John Ann shared with me and actually shared a couple of verses that morning, and I showed her my notes and I took some of hers and she took some of mine and we had a really good day. Jeremiah chapter 17. I don't have it marked, but verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind. Right? Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Now notice, verse 6, he will be like a bush in the desert and he will not see even when prosperity comes. He will live in stony waste in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by the stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green. And watch, and it will not even be anxious in a year of drought, nor will it ever cease to yield fruit. You got Psalm 1, you meditate on the Word, you delight in the Word, and then you go, and this is what happens. You're like a tree planted by the streams of water, yeah, keep that up, which yields its fruit in season. And then you go to Jeremiah and he says, hey, quit trusting in the Word of man. Quit it. God's got the Word. He's got the Word for your circumstances. And you might be here to say, you know, I've got some circumstances going on in my life and I want to hear God, but I just don't know how. Well, I want to tell you, if that's you, I've got some circumstances in my life and I don't know how to hear God. I want you to come up and see me after the message and say, I want to get with you. Or, hey, staff, stand up right where you're at. Staff, stand up right now. Look around at staff. Listen, elders, stand up if you would. Elders, stand up with right now. Sunday school teachers, stand up right now, would you? Sunday school teachers, yeah. All over, all over. Look, I'm in a circumstance, I'm in a situation, and I don't know what to do, and I want to hear God, and I don't know how to hear God. If you know any of these folks, you give them a call. Give me a call, and I want to tell you, they'll sit down with you and help you get the word that you need in this season of your life. Thank you for standing for me. Thank you. Don't you want to be like a tree that's planted by water and it yields its fruit in season and its leaf never withers? Don't you want to be like that? Don't you? Because fruit is influence. Fruit is increase in your life. Fruit is something you give away to people. When the Bible talks about love, joy, and peace, it's not just for you to eat it all up. It's for you to digest it, but to give it away. To give away love, to give away joy, to give away peace. That the presence of God is so deep in your life that they're saying, what is it that's going on with you? Well, God's changed my life. Last week, you had a wonderful young man preach in this pulpit named Thomas Garner. How many of you were here last week? Okay. He will not share this from the pulpit, but he shares it personally. Thomas was an All-American high school football player on his way to Oklahoma University as a running back, full ride scholarship, but got in trouble. Bad trouble. Went to jail. In jail, had this encounter with God again. And he surrendered to God. He surrendered to ministry. And he got out of jail on bond and went to Prairie View A&M down near Brenham, Texas. Went to school. Gave up sports because he was going to pursue God and pursue ministry. Well, for some reason, the court case just delayed and it delayed and delayed, and it was like 2 years. And then the court case came, and he got his attorney, and he went in, and he had vice presidents from Prairie View. He had teachers. He had friends. He had pastors. The place was packed with about 40 or 50 people, 40 or 50 God's people. On his behalf. The judge comes in, all rise, they all rise. He sits down, he looks, he says, I'm going to have to call recess. He calls an immediate recess, points at Thomas, attorney, I need you to see me back in my chamber. They get down, they get back, they sit down, and the judge says, you're not the same kid that came before my court 2 years ago. I want to know what's happened to you. I want to know what happened to you. And of course, he shares his commitment to Christ. He shares what Christ did in his life. He shares the life change. And it's obvious to the judge that this young man is different. He's got different fruit coming out of him. He's got a different light shining in his eyes. There's no more darkness in his light. There is light coming out of his eyes. He is a different man. Why? Why? Because the sower sowed the word, and he received it with a heart that's fertile, not hard, not rocky, not soily, not stony. He received the word implanted into his heart, and it bloomed, and it became. Don't you agree with me? Agree with me here, right? Don't you not agree with me? Is that right? Man, I just messed that up. Can you edit that out? It increases a colossal harvest, stupendous return, enormous, enormous return on the investment of that one seed that was planted in that jail cell of that 18-year-old man who is now 27 years old that you had the great privilege of hearing in this pulpit last week. It's life change, and it produces fruit. Listen, I come to this table today. I come to this pulpit today. I come to this lectern today, having prepared for this message with this one thought. May you go out of this place so fired up about the Word of God and what God says. That before you know it, you're realizing that you're less and less on Facebook and you're more and more in your Word right there at your app. Because most of you have a phone that has the Bible on it. Some of you, how many of you are reading your Bible from your app right now? Raise your hands or raise your phone real quick. Yep, see, all over the place. All over the place. Right there at your fingertips. It's life. It's life-giving. Now, I want to just talk just real briefly. Well, there's nothing brief about what I'm going to say, but I want to just talk to you some more, okay, about this word. What God sows into your life. Because there's the breadth and there's a depth. It's just not, it's what God says, but it's the specific things that God says. For instance, when you do some study on this, you realize that the Logos is there's just many ways to talk about it. It's many ways to say it. For instance, when the sower sowed God's word in your life, this Logos was creative, it was an upholding, and it was a preserving word. God spoke into your life and created something new. Because if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Amen? It's a creative word. But it's a word that upholds you and preserves you to the very end. So that there is a beginning, there is a continuation, and there is a completion. It's called the salvation of God. What God starts, He finishes it. And that brings such great hope. Amen. It brings great hope. So the sower sows God's creative, upholding, preserving word. Second, the sower sows His law, His testimony, His precept, and His commandment. Now notice Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect. It restores the soul. Now, the law can be a couple of things in the Old Testament. It can be what they call the Decalogue, that's the Ten Commandments, or the Pentateuch, that's the first five books of the Bible. And this law, he says, it's perfect. It restores the soul. So let me just say, don't be afraid of the Old Testament. Don't be afraid of the Old Testament. It's got Jesus on every page. And so the law of the Lord, God's Logos, is God's law. It's what God says. It's what God spoke. It's perfect. It restores the soul. Let me ask you something. How many of you got washed in Jesus watching or reading Facebook this week? I just got washed in Jesus just now. No. Listen, law of the Lord is perfect. It restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. Now, when you look at the word testimony means, in basic terms, it means the witness. It's the witness of God. It's what God does to show Himself. And so whenever you look at what God does in Scripture, that's the testimony of the Lord. It's the testimony of the Word of God. It's God testifying about how great He is and the great things that He's done. That's why you don't want to miss a day in it. Oh, well, we can't, you know, it's funny how we don't want to miss the new series on television. I don't want to miss that night, so I'm going to do everything I can to make it, or, you know, if I can't record it, right? But let me ask you, is there something in your soul that says, I can't miss any day without looking at God's great witness? He gives witness in His word of how great He is and what He does. And the Bible says that it is sure and it'll make you wise. It'll restore your soul. It'll make you wise. Look at verse 8, the precepts. The precepts of God are the general rules of action. It's where the Scripture speaks of how you're to act, what you are supposed to do. And so these are the precepts. And he says, the precepts of the Lord are right. They rejoice the heart. And then the commandment of the Lord, this is the word that says, don't do that. Stop doing those things. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes. I said this earlier. I say it again. Benita, would you put it back up to 7, verse 7? Notice what it does. It restores the soul. What have you been listening to that you think is going to restore your soul? It makes the wise the simple. Verse 8, the next one, it rejoices the heart and it enlightens the eyes. You know, the next verse is a real favorite verse of mine. It says, this word that Jesus sows into your life, it's better than gold. And it's sweeter than honey. He says, it's better than gold. You know, there's times when I have premarital counseling or I have counseling with a couple that's really struggling. How many of you had? No, I'm teasing. And I'll pull out this word on marriage. And we'll go through it. And I'll place it on my desk and I'll say, this is gold. This is better than gold. And I mean it with all my heart. You know, a couple of weeks ago, you saw Robert talk about his restoration and his marriage when we had this interview. If you haven't seen it, you need to look at it. You need to watch it. And he had a life change. And one day, he walked into Starbucks and talked to my mother and father-in-law. And he made this word. He said this word. And hear me all the way out, okay? He said, Mike saved our marriage. And when they told me that, I said, no, God saved their marriage because They just took the gold standard and lived according to it. They did what they were supposed to do in their marriage. They were obedient to God. I can't make anybody new. I can't save anybody. I can only sow it. And that's what the sower does. He sows the word. And I don't know about you, but I want you to be sowers. I want you to be sowers of God's word. But you got to know it. You got to understand it. You don't need to be a professor. You don't need to be a pastor. You don't need 3 years of seminary. But you've got to be in it. And as you begin to live it, oh, this is how a husband's supposed to live. Oh, this is how a wife is supposed to be. Oh, that's what I'm supposed to do with my money. I'm supposed to give the first 10%. I mean, it's all there. It's all there, how to live. I'm not supposed to be anxious about this. I'm to seek God first in his kingdom, and all these things will be added unto me. I'm to love my neighbor as myself. I'm to love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. But I got to be in the word. I've got to be in it. I've got to be in it. And, you know, when we were little, we used to, I don't know if you grew up in Southern Baptist life, but we get these little envelopes for Sunday school and we put our offering in it and we check all the things that we did that week. I did my daily Bible reading. I went to training union. I went to Sunday school. I gave my offering. You know, four or five things. You know, I like to be one that checks it all off. And so in my crazy kid mind, I thought, you know, I've missed a few days, but I'm going to catch up, and I'm going to check. I read my Bible daily. Well, I didn't read my Bible daily, you know. And then what happens is it became rote. And it had to be something that I had to do. And God doesn't want to bring you to that place. God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to your situation and your circumstances. He's the sower that sows the word. And yeah, sometimes it's a rebuke. Sometimes it's hard. A couple of weeks ago, remember we talked about David? David needed a rebuke. Amen. Are there some times in your life you needed a rebuke? Oh, you don't want to amen that one. Yeah, I don't want to amen that one either. But we do. We're not talking about somebody being rude or harsh. We're just saying, listen, this is not supposed to be in my life. The sower sows God's creative, upholding, and preserving word. The sower sows his law, testimony, precept, and commandment. The sower also sows Jesus. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Logos, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he says in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, I want to make something very clear. This isn't Jesus. Okay? My Bible's not Jesus. But Jesus is all over it. Okay? Jesus is a person. This Word is holy. I'm as bold enough to say that it is, I believe it is without error. I believe it is inerrant. I believe this Word is God's Word. And what God's Word does, it'll point you to Jesus. When I sow the Word, I get to sow the gospel of Jesus. I get to sow His Word. I get to testify about Him. I get to plant Jesus in Him. And you know, it's interesting because I go back to these two cases in San Francisco, one in a wedding, at a wedding where someone comes and says, that's the most wonderful thing I've ever heard in my life. I've never heard such. To a guy on a plane who's got struggles and got hurts, who you know is touched by the Logos, by the Word of God. And I tell you this, this is what's going on in my heart as your pastor. I want you to be sowers of the Word. I want you to see every opportunity that comes your way. It's not to put a track under somebody's nose or thump a word or thump the Bible at them. I'm not talking about Bible thumping. I'm not talking about having to put something under their nose. I'm just talking about planting Jesus. I'm just talking about planting Christ. Sharing testimony, sharing witness. Just getting to that place to say, hey, this is what God's done in my life. And God can do this in your life. Because everybody needs the Word, because everybody needs Jesus. The sower sows God's creative, upholding, preserving Word. He sows His law, His testimony, His precept, His commandment. The sower sows Jesus. The sower sows the good news of Jesus. And the sower sows God's promises of hope that are eventually always fulfilled. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by that? You've heard me talk about Abraham a bunch. But God made Abraham a promise. He gave him a word. Now, Abraham was 75 years old when he got this word. And from 75 years to 100 years old, God kept giving him this word. And the word was, your wife's going to have a baby. Well, my wife's 75 years old. And she got through with the night sweats a long time ago. You like that, Teresa? She stopped the hot flashes a long time ago. I mean, that's what I'm saying, okay? I mean, she just stopped a long time ago. Matter of fact, what he's saying is that he didn't really say that, but you can't find that in Scripture. But his wife is past childbearing age. And what God promises is something that's impossible. And he has a hard time believing it from 75 to 100 years old. Until one day, God says, hey, I'm really going to do this thing for you. I want you to quit building altars when I tell you this. And I want you to believe. And that's what he did. He believed in this promise of hope that this great God would visit his wife and visit him and make it a way so that she can have this baby of promise. And Paul says in Romans 4 that God gave this word to them in Romans 4. And then finally at some point, he begins to believe God, and he believes that God can give life to the dead, and he can bring into existence that which does not exist. And the promise is the same for you as a sower, to be able to say to you with just no qualms that Jesus wants to do this great work of conforming you into his image. He wants to take away your lust. He wants to take away your anger. He wants to take away your unforgiveness. He wants to take away your bitterness. He wants to take away the fracture in your home, the fracture in your marriage. He wants to restore it. He wants to rebuild it. He wants to redeem it. He wants to come and live in it and breathe in it. He wants to make it new. It's the promise of God. So that whatever, wherever you are, whatever word you need, that the God would come, that God would speak that word, and you would embrace it with faith and with trust, and you'd meditate on it and you'd live it so that you see its fruit. Because the promises of God are so great. I mean, think about this with me. And a lot of you have heard this, a lot of you haven't. It's what everyone needs to hear. That God will come and save you and deliver you and justify you and glorify you. This great God has gone to prepare a place for you. He's come to send his Spirit to you. The Bible promises that he'll teach you all things. He'll show you the way you're supposed to go. He'll gird you with strength. He'll give you good gifts. He'll forgive you and remember your sins no more. He'll wash you with the word, sanctify you in the truth. He'll give you peace. He's promised to conform you into the image of Jesus. He's promised to equip you. That's his word. I'll equip you. I'll empower you. I welcome you. I adopt you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll complete you. I'll make you joyful. I'll give you peace because I'll bless you with peace. I'll take away those sins. I'll crush the head of the enemy. I'll remove your guilt. I'll raise you up on the last day. I'll purify you. I'll not give anything to you that you cannot handle, but I'll give you the Spirit as well to overcome. I'll set you free. I'll give you victory over sin. I'll provide every need. I'll protect you from the evil one. I'll give you confidence in the day of trouble. I'll comfort you, heal you, open your blinded eyes. I'll save your household. I'll be with you forever, cleanse you from unrighteousness. I'll call you my child. I'll establish you, anoint you, confirm you, perform his work until the day of Jesus in you. I'll keep you from falling. I'll be your God. I'll feed you my flock. I'll honor your obedience. I'll let you find me. I'll answer your prayer. I'll give you sufficient grace. I'll give you everything you need to live a godly life. I'll rebuke the devourer, fill you with the Spirit, and come into your life forever, forever, forever. The sower sows the word. He sows the word. The question is, your heart ready to receive the word? Because I'm telling you, a hard heart will not receive the word. The enemy will come like this says, and he'll come in and snatch the word, and you'll forget it by the time you get in your car today if your heart's hard. You'll forget it. If your heart's got stones in it and is stony, then you'll go out. The Bible says you'll receive it immediately with joy. But then when persecution and trouble and affliction comes, it'll choke the word out. Or if your heart is thorny, the Bible says that what chokes that word out is that the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things will choke the word out and not be fruitful. But if you receive the word and plant it with a fertile heart, a ready heart, it will produce 30, 80, 100 fold in this life. And guess what that 30, 80, 100 fold is for? It's for your seed to put in your bag, to sow it into people's lives, because the sower sows the word. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand together, all right?